And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You're listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek.
Sometimes I just gotta
just
go,
power
Brad.
Through it.
Yep. Yeah. Because sometimes you're not gonna stop talking. Or singing.
The best I ever had. Remember that song? Do you remember that song? Was that Kix?
Not really. No. I mean, I remember those bands.
Oh, do you know who Whiteheart is?
Of course.
Of course.
Well, they were the ones that sang, wait, am I getting confused with?
Yeah, you probably are. Because there's about three different, like four different.
Oh, I was thinking of, I remember Whiteheart. You said Whiteheart, right?
Whiteheart, yeah.
Yeah, I vaguely remember them. For some reason, I was thinking of Warrant.
Whiteheart was a Christian rock band.
That's
in the late 80s.
That's probably why I didn't like them very much.
Well, I thought with your, you know, your religious background, you might have heard of them.
I didn't listen to Christian music.
Really?
No. Because I had already tried things like Zeppelin and all that kind of stuff. So all that stuff seemed real lame. And you know why?
Yeah, but it was
because most of it's real lame.
Yeah, but see, I went through a phase, you know, where I got saved and I was born again.
Sure.
So I couldn't listen to all that stuff because that was all evil. So to try and get my fix, my mom was like, she took me to the Christian bookstore and showed me like the listening station.
Right.
They had a listening station of all these different like Christian bands.
So let me guess at some of these. We'll bring okay. back some memories. Because I remember I had my best friend growing up for a long time. His parents just like bought them all kinds of Christian music. So let's go with some of the obvious ones. We got Striper.
Mm-hmm.
They actually made it quote unquote mainstream.
Right.
But you got Petra. That was a big one back in the day. Big Christian band. Are these not any of the ones you were thinking of? Of course, Whiteheart. Am I missing any here?
No, there was a metal band that I cannot remember. But they were like hardcore. They were like death metal, but they were Christian.
Yeah.
The cover of the album was like Christ's bloody hand with a nail going through it.
Yeah.
I was like,
whoa. That's been a thing for a long time, I feel like. A lot of like biblical Christian type metal bands. It kind of fits into that. You can make it fit into that really easily, I feel like. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. I cannot remember their name, though. Well, I just liked it because I like that kind of music.
Sure.
But I didn't like the singing. I don't like the vocals.
Right.
But I love the intensity of that kind of music.
Right. Well, we had some Christian bands that made it into the mainstream. Let's see. What are some of those bands? We've got Switchfoot. I dare you to. They were actually a great band, though. Really good band.
Yeah.
POD. Remember POD?
POD, yeah. They were like, rap metal.
Yeah.
Rap rock.
Oh, I had another good one. Well, of course, there's U2. One blood, one life, you've got to do what you should. Right? I mean, they're big. Right. What? Why are you laughing?
You too?
Christian as
Bono?
Fuck. Yeah. They were all dead serious.
I missed that phase.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Okay.
They made, well, they were the band that like Christians were like,
get out of here.
One of our band, some of our people are like, I'm dead serious, man. I don't think they subscribe to it anymore, but.
No, they weren't. They weren't a Christian band. I can't tell
you. They were a band of Christians that were just like, oh, Lifehouse. Remember Lifehouse?
Yeah, Lifehouse.
All those bands I just listed were all
Christians. U2 with Bono in The Edge.
Yeah.
But they, look, lots of people might be Christians and be in bands, but that doesn't mean they're a Christian band. U2 wasn't a Christian band.
Sure, no, they were not in the Christian music industry. I was just listing people that were, I don't know.
I mean, Tom Araya is a Christian.
Who?
Tom Araya.
Okay, well, I wasn't trying to get down in the weeds, man. Just having a conversation
I thought we were talking about Christian bands.
Well, I thought we were talking about Pearl Jam. You know why? Because we're a Pearl Jam podcast. For all of you that maybe this is your first listen, thanks for giving us a try. Yeah, I think it's time to put the kibosh on the... I don't want to talk about who's really a Christian.
I don't either.
Okay, let's not do it. So
I did like that White Heart album, though. They had one album that was really good.
Yeah, this is what happens when everyone knows what happened last time I drank a bunch of Red Bull before we taped. Mm-hmm. And it's not Red Bull today, but I just chugged a cup of coffee. Might be lots of editing myself out with this episode.
Please don't.
Just let it rip.
The people love you. They have spoken. I don't care. Fuck them. Even if they don't love you, I love you. I love hearing you
Brad,
talk
God,
about stuff.
I love hearing you say those words.
It's the truth, though.
But here's the deal. Why I love hearing those words?
When you go off.
A, because I know you mean it. B, because you only say it back to me about 50% of the time. If this was a romantic relationship, we would be having some real fucking problems. Because you kind of do that whole, like, man, I love you, dude. And you're like, thanks. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
I've noticed I can't say it back to you. I can only say it when it comes to me on my own terms. I don't know. It's a thing I've had.
Okay. Well, maybe you need to look into that a little bit. Or not. I don't know. Fuck it. Let it ride, man. All right. So what are we going to talk about this week, Brad?
We are going to talk about everybody's favorite new Pearl Jam song, Buckle Up.
Yeah. It's time to do this one. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Me too. I've been excited about every one of these track by tracks from the record.
Yeah. They're fun. Because almost every song is pretty great.
Yeah. Again, I don't, well, you and I probably feel differently about this, but I don't think this is a record that has any duds.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I've had my moment with each one of these songs.
Right.
So, I mean,
I'm 99% agreeing with you on that.
Sure. Well, we'll get there. We haven't gotten to that part of the record yet, have we?
Nope.
We'll get there. A few more weeks. What else we got? You want to just get into the emails?
Did you hear Miley Cyrus covering Just Breathe?
Oh, hell yeah. Loved it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I kind of found it. How did I find it? I hadn't even heard that it was happening. Was it like a surprise thing or...
Yeah, as far as I know, it was a surprise thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it like popped up on my Instagram feed, I think. I was just flipping through, and I saw this thing that linked to a Instagram, what do you call it, Instagram TV or whatever.
Yeah, she did the backyard sessions or something. Yeah. Where she did a bunch of songs. Yeah, it sounds good.
She did it, man. I mean, she's
one of those, a great singer. People... You can say what you want about her look and her personality, but she can sing. I mean, going back to Hannah Montana, Like, I know all those Hannah Montana songs because my daughter loved Hannah Montana.
Right.
So that's like all we would listen to, Hannah Montana and Fall Out Boy in the car all the time.
Yeah, man. That's I missed that because I had a boy, but.
Yeah. Then she kind of turned into like weird 20s Miley Cyrus. And my daughter did not like that at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just came in a little too hot for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I dig the Miley Cyrus shit, man. I don't know. Yeah. I kind of think once she was famous as Hannah Montana that young, I think I was old enough at that point to understand, like, okay, that's somebody who's not going to be able to grow up normal.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's a
dad is already famous.
Yeah.
Now she's gone from the child star to the I'm going to show everyone who I really am, which is great.
Right.
I'm not, you know, bagging on that.
Well, is it?
Well, I think it forces people in that. I mean, I think when you're a young person, and I mean like preteen, and her whole life was just fucking had to have been lawyered up. And when you're on TV shows like that, I'm sure she signed all kinds of stuff that, you know, she can't be a crazy person out in public.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was Disney.
It was the image.
Wasn't Hannah Montana a Disney thing?
I think so. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure there was. I'm not knocking her, and I'm not saying. But, yeah, that was, you could see that coming a mile away. The whole, you know, child star curse kind of thing. She went a little crazy. But I might have mentioned this before. When the whole, like, Wrecking Ball thing, that whole Wrecking Ball, like, era, she was on SNL. I'm pretty sure she did Wrecking Ball.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. People don't, I don't know. The second song she did was just her and a piano. And she was singing the song about like the loss of a loved one. And dude, I was like, I was bawling my eyes out. And then I found out it was for one of her pets. I don't know if it was a dog or a cat, but it was one of her pets died. Mm-hmm. And that's what this song was about. And dude, I was just like a mess. Well, you know what it was? She started crying. And that, like, I lost it. If I see someone else crying, forget it. I'm done.
Oh. I'm just going to force myself to cry next time we see each other. See what happens. All right.
Okay. I will probably lose it in front of you.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, though. I forgot about that Miley Cyrus performance. I liked it. It was pretty cool. All right, let's get into some emails, man.
All right, let's do it.
You up first.
Yes, Ryan. Hey, guys. It's been a minute since I last wrote in, but still love the show and listen to each episode. You're so right about 1990 through 2000 feeling like an eternity, yet 2000 to 2020 feels like nothing. I thought of it another way to measure time for perspective. COVID started in March of this year. It's now late October. Think about all the life that happened in the span of that time. Okay, now think about the fact that Andy Wood died in March of 1990 and Pearl Jam played their first show in October of 1990. It's the same length of time. When measuring it against when COVID broke out, you can really think about how long Stone and Jeff had to grieve, pull themselves back together again, write songs, find other musicians, find a new singer, and have something to present on October 22nd. It's pretty crazy to think that all happened.
It is. I never thought of it that way.
In a span of like 10 months, not even. Anyway, since 2020 put many things on hold, I'd be down for a Pearl Jam 31 celebration. Tying significance to round numbers is a made-up value anyway. There's no reason not to, in my opinion. Take care, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Agreed. I forgot to say that his title was Thinking About Time is Trippy.
Yeah, because I got all messed up and labeled the episode the wrong amount of years, I think. Or what did I do?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you said There's something. You got the 10 and 20 years mixed up.
Yeah. Good God.
But I don't know if, I don't know. You fixed it pretty quickly. I don't know if people saw that, but yeah, last in the description, you said something like, we go back to Pearl Jam's 20th anniversary.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It was their 10th anniversary. Oh my like
God,
that.
Dude.
Which is because we had talked about it during the episode and you got it mixed up then too.
Yeah. For me in my head, I don't know why, but it's like the 2000 through 2010 didn't happen or something.
Right.
It's like I skipped yeah. those 10 years in my head when yeah. I think back on how yeah. long something or how long ago something was.
Right.
But anyway. Thanks again for writing in, man. All right. We've got Dean. He says, hey, boys. Thanks for the mention. It was so cool. Man, you guys are so easy to listen to. Lions is like the older sibling, and your knowledge music-wise is so interesting. And Brad Blazek is like the youngest with a contagious laugh and passionate views. It works so well. Your neutral opinions, sometimes straining to keep your nerve, is so comforting and relaxed, but funny too. So keep it up, fellas. You're doing such a great job. Thanks, Dean. Thanks for some positive reinforcement there, man.
Yeah, dude. I do strain to keep my nerve.
Well, when you're dealing with this guy, you got to have a lot of nerve.
Did you vote early?
Nope. I'm not voting, dude. JK. No, I didn't do it early, though. A lot of people did.
I did.
It's awesome.
Yeah, you want to hear two things that I've never done in my life until Thursday?
What?
I voted, and I put on a Johnny Cash album.
Whoa. First time voting, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Since, like, what, high school president, right. class president? Yeah.
That's funny. And what was the other one? Oh, you put on a Johnny Cash record, like literally on vinyl?
Yeah. Greatest Hits Ooh, Volume 1.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
good
stuff. You know, what's funny is like there was some song. There's two things that were funny. He starts singing the song and I'm like, I know this song. Like, why do I recognize this song? And it's only because it's Newfound Glory has covered this Johnny Cash song.
Oh, that makes me so happy that you've learned that, but it makes me so sad that you had it backwards.
I was just going to say, I asked Susan. I know that her dad is a big Johnny Cash fan. And I was like, I said, you like this stuff, right? Like, are you glad I got this record? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I grew up listening to this. And she started singing along with this song. Like, she knew every word by heart.
Yeah, man.
I was like, whoa. She's like, yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Dude, he's one of my heroes.
Yeah.
I love Johnny Cash.
Well, I think I've told you this. I'm a huge fan of Columbo. Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I've watched like every episode 100 times. And there's an episode with Johnny Cash. And Johnny Cash is the murderer. Like, he's like the main star
dude, I gotta
of
check
that
out.
Episode. Yeah, it's awesome. But he's not playing Johnny Cash, but he's playing like a version of Johnny Cash. He's a musician and he's like just like the nicest guy. And Columbo's a big fan of his. Him and his wife like love this dude's music. It's such a great episode.
That's cool. Glad to get a Columbo recap here.
Oh, nice. Dude, we could do it. I could literally do a Columbo podcast. If anyone out there wants to do a Columbo
oh boy,
podcast,
you just opened up Pandora's box.
It's the best show ever, dude. It's so great.
All right, let's get to Steve.
Steve has some things to say about my hero, Eddie Van Halen. I could tell exactly how Lions felt about Van Halen before he even explained on the last episode. The episode prior, I believe, with Clint Wells, Brad Blazek said something about Mike's solo on Super Blood Wolf Moon being like Eddie Van Halen, and Lion said, yeah, but it's not shitty. I could tell in that moment Lions was not a fan, and I had a little laugh to myself. I feel the same. Incredible talent innovative, a pioneer for thrashers, but he's never connected with me emotionally like McCready, David Gilmour, or Jerry Cantrell, etc. No doubt needs to be recognized and appreciated, but not everyone's cup of tea. Lions keep keeping Brad B on track. He's like a dog in a park when it sees a squirrel.
No shit. Thanks for the sympathy there, Steve.
Steve from Ontario. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, now, I can't say I agree with you or Steve. I think Eddie was a brilliant genius. But I get it. I get not everyone's going to connect. I don't like David Gilmour. I'm not into Pink Floyd at all. So.
Sure.
But I again, like he said, the dude's talented, and I get that people love him, and I understand why they love Pink Floyd.
It's yeah. Just not my and, cup of you tea. Know, I don't know. Me saying, yeah, but it's not shitty. I was probably just trying to be hyperbolic.
Oh, yeah.
I obviously don't right. think he's shitty, but yeah. nothing but respect for the man.
Yeah.
All right. Who we got next? Thanks again, Steve. Amber, the astrophysicist.
Yes.
So cool. What does that feel like, Amber? I'm looking at your email, and at the bottom it says her name, and then astrophysicist.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
She says, howdy, Brad Squared. I've been meaning to email y'all literally for months. I'm just now getting around to it. Since I have a bunch of disconnected thoughts on the past several episodes, I thought I should make a tidy list. Number one, I was on a run when I was listening to the Clint Wells episode, and I literally had to stop because I was laughing so hard at that part where y'all are describing Little Blazik eating dry noodles.
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, man. She says, Jesus. Thanks for the laughs. I enjoyed hearing his take on Gigaton, although I'm not a Metallica fan. Please don't hate me. Mm. Number two, the Vitology Take Two episode was so good. I love that album so much. It's always been in the top three or four for me. I actually completed hearing all the Vitology songs live, except the Weirdos, during 2018 when I finally checked Tremor Christ off the list at the Prague show. Number three, Riot Act. This album does fall somewhere in the bottom few of all the albums for me, but I still like it a lot. I resist ranking the albums except for number one, Yield, number two, No Code, but rather have them kind of grouped roughly into thirds in my brain. I like that. I should do that.
Yeah, I do too.
That's a smarter way to do it.
Yep.
Number four, I've really, really been enjoying the Gigaton song episodes. Although I do love River Cross, I'm going to be sad or mad when y'all get to that one if Brad B hasn't come around by then. It's the perfect closer. Well, we still got time. Mm-hmm. I've got hope. I'm a hopeful man.
We're not there yet.
I know. And then she says, number five, in some recent-ish episode, y'all mentioned that you're both sci-fi fans. Hooray. If you haven't yet, check out the Three Body Problem trilogy. So good. I'm definitely going to do that. And then, anyway, she says, thanks again for such a great show. Where is the Three Body Problem trilogy? What is that? What are we talking, Netflix here?
I'm going to have to look that up. I don't know. I had looked it up the other day, and now I'm forgetting exactly what it was. I think it's, I don't know. I don't want to say and sound like an idiot.
Have you tried Dark yet?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, I think I told you about it.
Speaking of
sci-fi.
Did you
finally start it?
Did you? I don't know. I started it about...
I think I did.
2 months ago?
Yeah, that's... I bet you that's when I... Because that's about when I was into it. Dude, I went hard for Dark.
Yeah. I can't remember how far I am into it.
Amazing. It's so good. It's real... It's kind of hard to get into... But man, if you stick with it, it's so good.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
What about that Dances with Wolves? Raised by Wolves? It came out a few months ago on HBO, and it's sci-fi, and it's like smart sci-fi. It's really good.
Sweet.
You should check that out.
Oh, real quick, I almost forgot before we leave Amber.
Yes.
She said, P.S., if you want to listen to me on a podcast, I was featured on the most recent episode of NASA's Curious Universe about the James Webb Space Telescope. And I can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah.
Because that sounds...
It's downloaded. It's on the list. I haven't checked it out yet, but I'm definitely going to.
That sounds exactly like the kind of stuff I like to listen to.
NASA's Curious Universe.
Hell yeah. Thanks, Amber. Appreciate it.
Dr. Strawn, thank you.
Yeah. All right. One more. We got Ben.
Ben Jacobson. Blazy and Lions.
Blazy.
Hope all is... is it? Yeah, it's got to be Blazy, right?
Yeah.
Because that's... All right. Sorry. Should I start over? Let me start over.
Okay.
I don't want to sound stupid. After 153 episodes, I don't want to start sounding like an idiot.
Don't start that now.
Blazy and Lions, hope all is well with the both of you. I believe the last time I reached out to you guys.
I thought the whole point was for you to say Blazy this time.
I know. That's why I didn't say it.
Well, all right. I just saved myself a lot of editing time because I'm leaving this whole thing in now.
Blazy and Lions. Hope all is well with the both of you. I believe the last time I reached out to you guys was as we were all patiently waiting for the tour to start. Holy shit, have times changed since then. Was so looking forward to heading to Phoenix for their show. The waiting may drive me mad till we get the tour rescheduled. What do you think? Are we going to see shows in the U.S. in 2021? What do you hear?
No.
What do you know? From your
Doing Europe in spring,
high
right?
Powered, yeah, but that's look. That's a whole nother world. The U.S. is kind of fucked, and we don't
right,
care.
Right, that's what
Nobody
I'm saying.
Cares.
But that's my point. Is like, no, I don't think we'll see Pearl Jam in 2021 here in the States. Oh, just being really brutally honest.
Yeah, I think you're right. I hate to say it.
We'll see.
Recently, I got my poster for the Phoenix show. I figured it'd be a cool reminder of the crazy time we were going through and also an appreciation for the things I have been able to enjoy in life and not take them for granted. I, too, received my Nashville and St. Louis posters. Well, I haven't got my Nashville one yet. Do you want me to tell you about that?
Nah.
Okay. In the meantime... Listening to Pearl Jam and the Pearl Jam podcast will keep me content. With that, I do want to thank you guys for providing a break each week from all this pandemic crap. It's very much needed. I've been teaching math and coaching football this whole year face-to-face. We have been able to avoid any shutdowns, but it has been the most exhausting, stressful school year in my 20 years of teaching. So thank you for providing me and many others with an outlet from all the BS in this world right now. Dude, I couldn't imagine being a teacher in a regular school year.
Nope.
But to throw this on top.
Mm-mm. Mm. It's tough.
Anyways, I meant to bring this up a while back. Not sure what ideas you have for future shows, but how about one on album openers? I've been thinking about my list for a while, so here it is. All right, his 11 openers in order, like ranked.
Right.
So, Can't Keep is number 11. Number 10 is Getaway. Number 9 is Break or Fall. 8, Gonna See My Friend. 7 is Life Wasted. 6 is Whoever Said. 5 is Sometimes. 4 is Brain of Jay. 3 is Once. 2 is Go. And 1 is Last Exit.
Damn right.
Would be fun to hear you guys debate about it. Could even do album closers another time. I haven't thought about that one as much, but obviously release would be number 1. Looking forward to the next podcast, fellas. Hope all is well, and you guys are taking care. Ben.
Yeah, Ben. He's even given us episode ideas, man.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig
it. Can we
it.
Do this real quick? Looking at these album openers?
No, let's ranked? Do an episode.
Do really?
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck
I'll
it.
I'll keep my... I won't say what I think about it.
Yeah. Hold it in, Blazy.
All right. Thanks, all right. Ben.
Thanks, Ben. All right, that is it for the emails this week. Thank you guys so much. If you'd like to email the show, the email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. You can say hey on social media. And if you would like to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory for that information. And speaking of Patreon, we've got some new patrons that joined the club.
We do. Patreon blew TF up.
TFU?
The last couple of weeks. Yeah, TF. Yeah, TFU. Ah, oh, see.
I like how you you did the TF and then just, we'll just go ahead and say up.
T-fup.
Nope.
I like that. Fup.
Just TFU.
That should be like a new, can we make that a new word? Fup? What's fup?
No, that's terrible. Does it even sound like a good word?
Yeah, that's why I like it. It's like kind of sounds dirty.
Okay, well, you know, how about we say thank you to the people that decided to give us some of their hard-earned money so we could do this show.
All right, let's. I'm going to talk about Steve McCallum and Tom Van Amert.
Hell yeah!
Those are some returning patrons.
Yep.
Thanks, dudes, for signing back up. And we also got Ben Jacobson, who we just heard from.
Yep.
Peter Houghton and Tasker Hewitt.
Oh, that's right. I grew up with Tasker.
I was going to ask you, because I noticed that Tasker is from Birmingham.
Yeah, man. We hung out a lot, like in, I remember, I think it was middle school. I'd go spend the night over his house a lot. It was fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Good dude. I've ran into him a couple times, so it's good to kind of, it's random to reconnect with him in a way, like through the podcast. It's funny.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What's up,
thank
Tasker?
Thank you to all our.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, totally.
And for those of you new signups and stuff like that, as far as t-shirts, we're getting that. Brad and I were talking about it before we started recording. We're going to get a new t-shirt system set up, hopefully in the next, I don't know, week or two.
Yeah.
And,
if you've been wanting a t-shirt, let me know, just send an email or get on one of the socials and message me, a size. Cause we're kind of, it's the one issue we have is we don't want to buy like a bunch of larges and then everyone wants mediums and then we're stuck with all these larges or vice versa. Yeah, so if we knew what sizes people were looking at, we kind of have a better idea with how to order them.
Cool.
Or we might do that thing where people can order them themselves.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the route to go. But
yeah,
we're going to get all that sorted out for you guys. So we'll let you know when that's ready to go. What else we got?
I think that's it. I'm trying to think if there's any news here lately. I don't know.
I don't think so,
man. Go vote.
Go vote. And
go vote tomorrow. This is coming out Monday.
True.
Go vote tomorrow.
That's right. All right, cool. Let's get in.
Vote for who we want you to vote for.
No, just vote. Shut up, Brad. all right, let's get into this week's topic. We got Buckle Up.
Oh, yes.
All right, so I think since this is a new one, I mean, we'll talk about it for a second, but we should probably go ahead and listen to it up front. But
all right.
You love this song, surprisingly.
I do. Why is it surprising?
Well, we've talked about this. It's not a big deal. Of all the songs off of Gigaton, for this to be like your favorite, that's a shock to me. It's a good shock. I hope you make the same turn when it comes to other songs on the record, but we'll get to that later.
Right. Other song?
One thing at a time. Record. Yeah, exactly. One thing at a time. It's funny. I thought I was going to like this song a lot more than you, and I really like this song, but I definitely don't love it as much as you do. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit. Give me your brief overview of why you love this song so much.
Oh, boy. I just... It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
The way Eddie sings, that kind of like syrupy vocal.
Just kind of whispery.
Yeah. Is just like something we kind of don't hear too often, right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a weird song. And that like, pa-pa.
I love that
part. I love that part.
Yeah. I don't know how long it'll last, but this is a song where I'm always happy when I love listening to it.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those examples, we've talked about this many times on the show, but, you know, Eddie treating his vocal as one of the instruments in the band. And I think when you're referencing the style in which he kind of delivered this vocal, it's good to remember that, you know, this is a Stone song. And just because of the nature of it, this definitely wasn't a song where they all got in a room together. It sounds like necessarily, it sounds like a lot of stuff was built, you know, maybe some scratch guitars were put down and sent around to the band. They record their ideas and parts at their own home studios or whatever, and then send it back and it all kind of gets put together. And I think that's one of the good things about them being more, what's the word for it? They're still collaborating, but it doesn't have to rely as much in each one of them being in the room like the earlier records. I mean, they still do that. There's still tons of that on this record, but them being able to kind of record remotely with each other, I think is going to bring some cool stuff. And I think that's why we get that kind of a vocal from Eddie, because he's just trying to fit into this weird track that's been presented to him.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why I like it.
Yeah. Is juxtaposition the right word for how the song is kind of upbeat?
Yeah.
But the lyrics are like kind of like on face value, like almost like a horror story.
We get super dark. Yeah.
Yeah. I like when songs do that.
Same. Yeah. Juxtaposition is the right word. It's once you dig into the lyrics, because it is this kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, this kind of floaty, almost bouncy, even though it's like a slower tempo.
Yeah.
It's kind of got this like triplet groove rolling thing to it. And then you listen to these super dark lyrics about death.
Right.
And it makes it even more powerful, I feel like. But
yeah, it almost sounds like if you look at it from a certain perspective, it almost sounds like it's a serial killer, like in Training.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's different ways to look at the lyrics, but that was like the first time I listened to it and read the lyrics. I thought, oh, is that what he's saying? Like, it could be a serial killer or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is.
No, I don't either. But
again, like, you could take it however you want, really.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll get into the lyrics. Let's go ahead and, I think that's a good little preamble to the song. Let's go ahead and give this. Okay. This guy, listen here. Such a cool little guitar figure, that weird, like, triplet arpeggiated. It moves so much.
It's funny because I was kind of concentrating on the drums.
Yeah.
And just how he's playing the hi-hats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is that a like a wood block yeah. or something? Whatever that percussion is, I love that.
Those little jam blocks.
It just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. You hear that weird little weird wah guitar in the left?
Yeah. That's another thing, like listening with headphones on, there's like so many subtle layers going on.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about this song. There's like cool little subtle delays, it sounds like, going on with yeah. the hi-hat that just kind of adds to the groove and the pocket that Matt's already got going on.
Yeah, it's like a shuffle. He's like playing a shuffle
kind of
on the hi-hats.
Yeah. He's a little bit behind, or maybe the guitar is a little bit ahead. Like you can kind of hear yeah. it at the very beginning of the song. It's cool.
I just see Will Ferrell playing the cowbell in the background. He's playing that wood block whenever it comes in.
Only difference is when I get up and put my pants on, I make gold records. It's just cool, man.
Yeah, it's just a weird little song. I love it.
I think it's one of those things too, and sorry if we've maybe touched on this in previous episodes, but it's another example of it. The record needed a song like that right then.
Mm.
It's like this mm-hmm. palate cleanser, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that it's anemic or it's easy to ignore or anything like that. I just mean that kind of like groove, it never gets big and it never gets tense. It just kind of mm-hmm. floats along the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think that it I just wonder how we would both feel about it if we listened to it out of context of this record. Like if it hadn't made it on this record.
That was the first single. If that was the single instead of Dance.
No. I mean, like, if it wasn't on the record, if Buckle Up wasn't on the record, and we heard it a year from now as like a B-side release thing, would we feel the same about it? Or is it because of where it is on this record?
I don't know. I think I would still like it, especially, I think I'd like it even more, if that makes sense. Because I like the oddball aspect of it. So right. if we got that song, like you said, like a Christmas single was right. that, I'd be like, what is this? Like, I want to hear a whole album of this.
That's true. That's a fair point. Yeah.
I just feel like that's how I would think about it.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's play What If.
Okay.
And see what this does to you. All what right. if there's a version out there or they put it on the record of Stone singing?
I'd love it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear that.
Okay.
I'd love to hear, like, his demo and how that song started before
right.
all yeah. this other cool shit got put on top of it.
But I'm saying, what if that was the album version?
Oh, him doing the vocal?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think I would still like the song.
I know you've come around on Mankind.
Yeah, but that's
so different. I know a part of it was the fact that it wasn't Eddie singing that yeah. song that always kind of bothered you.
Right. But you got to understand, like, that's been the interesting or fun thing about doing this podcast is it's like, it's forced me to, and I think this is a normal and kind of fun thing about being into music and bands is I carried how I felt about things, for example, regarding this band, from back then, and never really had to challenge it or think about it differently. Mm-hmm. So something like Mankind, 1996 Brad or whatever.
Yeah.
Was like, fuck that. Give me another song with Eddie on vocals.
Yeah.
But Brad, however many decades later, that listens to music in a completely different way and understands how it, what it's truly like to have a band dynamic, whether you're famous or not, the dynamics are still the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm much more interested in hearing what the other guys in the band write and where it started. And I don't mind something like Stone's voice anymore as much.
How crazy would it have been if they put his vocals on the record and then what's the Matt song? Take the Long Way.
Yeah.
What if Matt was singing on that?
And see, now you're getting into like that. That's where it's like, no, because that's not
it's
Pearl
too
Jam.
Too crazy.
And not because I don't want to hear it, and not because I don't think those versions would be good. Right. But for me, with a band like Pearl Jam and such kind of singular personalities and members in this band, I want to hear the band. Give me that stuff as a B-side and I'll fucking eat it up.
Yeah, that's
true. But not on the record, man.
It would be interesting to hear Stone singing this and Matt singing Take the Long Way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. It's probably better. Well, and Eddie has said that he during the recording of this, he was trying to embody some sort of character for Stone, like for Stone's song. Like he was trying to sing it in a way that fit the character of the song. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Right. And that, again, it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier. Like, I think it's where you get that unique delivery from him.
Yeah.
Right.
And they even said, like, Ed would try to, this is from that Variety Josh Evans song by song breakdown.
Right.
He says Ed would change one word or delete a word. And even with that, he'd check with Stone. And of course, Stone was like, you're Eddie Vedder. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, Ed kept doing the song over and over. Like, he was real concerned about doing Stone right, you know?
Yeah, that's why he's Eddie fucking Vedder, dude. I'm not kidding. Like, that kind of respect.
Attention to detail. Yeah.
For your band members' art is, that's how they're still a band. That's an example of why they're
and
still a band.
And for Stone to reciprocate and be like, dude, it's you. Do your thing with my song. Like, giving him that.
Yeah, if you haven't gotten to that point with a band like them, that many decades under their belt, I think, unless it's just a money grab, which I think we all know that Pearl Jam being together is not a money grab.
Yeah.
I mean, they make a lot of money. I'm not saying that. But, you know, those bands that still are touring after 35 years of being a band, but you know they don't ever talk to each other. They don't give a hot fuck about what anyone else thinks. Yeah. They just got to get up on stage from their own tour bus that's separate from everyone else, grab their instrument, do their job, make that money, and go. And I mean, Pearl Jam just does not. I think they would never do that. They'd be like, fuck it, we're done. It's fine.
Yeah.
We'll go do other things, you know? But anyway.
It's sad, isn't it, when you, think about bands that are like that? Like,
super sad.
And I think you might know better than me, but I've heard there's a lot of bands that are like that people don't know it.
Most of them.
Yeah. That's sad. You want them to be all buds and best friends and hanging out together after the show and before the show.
That's the thing about, it's like a blessing and a curse to get to work in the music industry in the sense that, man, it's so disappointing. It's so hard to hang on to some of your youthful idealism mm-hmm. or passion or kind of you wish you could get that blind naivety back or something.
Yeah.
Because you just kind of realize, like, it's not the whole industry and it's not everyone, but I kind of feel like most of it's pretty bleak and shitty, and there's lots of bands where it is, man, it's just a business.
Yeah.
You know?
Oof.
But that's why it's even more special when there are bands like Pearl Jam. Like, I feel like the Red Hot Chili Peppers are all still tight with each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's another example. I don't think Alice in Chains, even though they don't have Lane, just, you know, obviously talking about 90s bands right now. I don't think Sean Kinney and Jerry hate each other. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
It does happen. But the Eagles, there's an example.
Right.
They fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
Let's just go make that money. Do your job, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. What about lyrics, man? Let's talk about lyrics a little bit.
Yeah. Creepy. Weird.
Yeah, when you have, I mean, just things like, I mean, just like bed sores and sponge baths. It's just like, oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. Well, the opening lyric, I got blood on my hands, the stain of a human.
Yeah.
Like that just immediately evokes like a serial killer to me.
Mm-hmm.
That line. But then the next line, you know, he's talking about call lights, which is like a medical, like a hospital thing, bed sores and sponge baths. Like that kind of makes it like real. You know what I mean? And that's like, oh, this is like a sad, kind of a sad, realistic song.
Sure. Well, and the images in the verses are more, a little more specific, a little more kind of honed in with the references that we've just made, like call lights, sponge baths, all that kind of stuff. But then the chorus is this kind of go almost to like a wider view for a minute, and it's way more figurative, and it kind of seems like, especially if you're thinking of it in terms of this is possibly a son writing about, you know, the end years of their parent or one of their parents or something like that, right? Where it's just kind of this, like, I almost imagine the firstly do no harm is like some thing that this person who's going to pass or is sick always told the character in the story. And then it's just like shit's about to get crazy.
Right.
Cause
see, to me, that's a, isn't that a doctor?
Like
that's like the creed,
the Hippocratic Oath. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I like looking at that at lyrics, how some writers will go really kind of granular in the verses and then pull way back in the choruses as far as the language and what you're looking at. Because it feels like the chorus has to sum everything up. You can't be too specific.
See, to me, the chorus to me is a doctor giving the son or daughter the news,
right,
of like your parent is sick and they're dying, so put your seatbelt on and buckle up.
Yeah. I love these songs, man, because I mean, I'd never thought of it that way, and even now as I'm sitting here just looking at the lyrics and not listening to the song, it's like, man, this could be so many different things.
Yeah. Well, then the last clue. The last two verses the first two verses are kind of like easy to interpret, but the drapes pull back and the antiquities lost verses is like, oh, now we're getting like artsy and esoteric, and
this is when you find out it's like stuff, and he read some weird book about, because this is antiquities lost, lost to the Nile, a sudden slip, a fall in the tile. It's like we're doing all this like oh, I wonder if it's about his mom being sick or whatever. And right. it's like, no, I read a really nerdy book about Cleopatra and right. decided to write a song about it.
Yeah.
Another example of sometimes why I don't like knowing what it's a song is about, you know, from the artist.
Maybe it could. Are you in any like song clubs? I've heard of these like song clubs that musicians isn't one of the things like you have to write a song that has the word antiquities in it. Like everyone has to do that. Yeah. Maybe that's what this is. Like someone was like, bro, I bet you can't write a song with the word antiquities in it. And probably Stone's not. Like, oh yeah, bitch. That's exactly bitch. What he said. Oh yeah, bitch.
Buckle
watch
up.
This.
And then he was like, ooh, that's the chorus. Yeah. I can feel it. The juices are flowing. I hit my flow state.
Yeah.
No, but it is a song that kind of keep. And I think that's why a song like this will maybe last a little bit longer for me in terms of that it can be something different every time. It can still I can still have curiosity about the song.
Right.
Whereas some songs, it's just like, okay, I know exactly what this is about, and that's fine. But after a while, it's like, well, if I'm not feeling that vibe, then I'm probably just not going to listen to that song as much for a while anyway.
Yeah.
But, I'm trying to think if there's so much from a production standpoint about this song.
And yeah, give it to me. Talk about it.
Well, I was laughing just then because I feel kind of lost on where even to start or what would be interesting. But I think in a general sense, the references we've already made about this seeming like this being a song that was kind of put together maybe by Josh over a lot of like remote type sessions. And I think from a production standpoint, you fill up so much space when a band is in a room, just like on the kind of like the stereo field, like what you're listening to, right? It's not because that guitar amp might be quote unquote isolated, but there's going to be some sort of room bleed when you've got a loud rock band like Pearl Jam tracking together, you know? And there's something about it that allows it sometimes to be more simple. Like they don't have to add as much in the overdub world. They can kind of just accentuate the stuff that they did live. Whereas this had to have been one of those situations where Stone had some sort of reference tempo and he laid down a couple parts with a scratch vocal and then maybe he sent it to Jeff. I don't know. I'm just making shit up at this point. Or maybe he sent it straight to Matt, and Matt started building these kind of this drum part with some percussion stuff. But then Jeff got a hold of it and did some other weird stuff that made when Matt got it again, it made him add some new stuff.
I think you're onto something because I think I've seen Josh Evans say that you know they would all kind of have these bits and pieces in their home studio. So when they'd come in, they'd work on different pieces of it. So kind of sounds like what you're saying is might be what actually happened.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like just because of, especially since the pandemic, had to work like that a lot more often.
Right. Yeah.
And you have to approach the way you're filling space up differently when you record that way, because everything's, you know, the drums are just the drums. You don't have anything else in the room with it. The guitar amp is just Mike's guitar amp at home, maybe, or Stone's just at home. And that's the thing about Josh is people talk about the term producer and what that means, and it means a million different things. Every time it can mean something completely different with every artist or band you work with. But this is, I would feel very safe in saying that this is an example of a lot of the work that he did on this record is taking a song like this and all these different parts that might have been recorded and sifting through it all and making it sound consistent and putting this thing together. That's a whole different feat than recording a live band in a room. So from my standpoint, that's one of the things I find interesting about this song.
Yeah, which brings up the, what's the live version going to sound like? Can you recreate this song on a stage?
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things too about the strength of a song too, right? Like I don't know if they'll ever play this song live. I'm sure that will be a special rarity thing that happens, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But if they decide to do it live, they always, even the more produced songs maybe, which I guess really is just from this record, to be honest with you. It's the first time, I mean, when you're talking about things like drum samples and synths used in this way, I guess it's all fair game.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That aspect of this record has a lot of that subtle, weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you always had
compared
like,
to,
yeah, like Boom or Brendan O'Brien throwing some B3 on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not like synth shit, you know?
Right, right.
So, I don't know. It's been, it's kind of sad because thinking about stuff like that just really makes me remember how fucking excited I was for those shows to happen and that they haven't happened. And it's going to be a while before we can.
Well, you know, and I'm a nerd about the live shows and obviously going to concerts, but like I'll follow along online, like on the porch and Twitter when there's a show happening. And like, I want to see what they're playing every night.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? And we've just been missing all of that. You know, there was supposed to be this spring tour and then the European tour. And I miss, you know, getting online and like just goofing around with other posters about, oh, they played that song. Dude, when they played No Code, like in its entirety, you know, by like the third song, people were like, wait a second, like, is this happening? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And it was just shit like that is so fun.
Well, I think especially now they'll do some special stuff when shows start back up. And
yeah,
I think the only kind of consolation prize maybe is that if, you know, Europe does happen in spring or before the US, then at least we'll have set lists, like you're saying, set lists to look at, YouTube videos to check out. And it's never the same, but it's better than nothing. That's for sure.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what else? You got anything else about this song?
No, not really. I think we did it.
I think we did it, man. Yeah. Again, it'll be interesting to see how we both feel about this song in maybe a year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I probably would say 7 o'clock is my favorite song, but this is a close second. That's fair. I can't say this is my favorite on the album because I just love 7 o'clock so much.
Well, number two is still a pretty big statement, so not in a bad way, but
yeah.
All right, cool. Well, man, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right. Hey, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, bro. Happy daylight savings. Don't start talking about it.
Fuck you. Yeah,
I hate it too.
I mean,
why did I fucking say that?
I forgot all about it.
I know, I'm the worst.
Until you brought it up, now I'm going to have to go cry.
Well, if you'd like to email the show, you can email us at singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. Say hey in social media. And, of course, if you'd like to support the show, head on over to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. Until next time, I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek saying, I wish this moment was never ending. Let it be a lie that all futures die.
Boom. Peace.